Good morning and hello and welcome back to my podcast. My name is Brooke and it has been ages since I last uploaded anything and I'm so excited to be back here in 2024. I've had this podcast for about 2 years now. My first episode was in 2022. I have since removed a sass to every episode because I listened to them and I cringed and I absolutely hated the sound of my voice. And for the record, most of the time I don't even listen to my podcasts after I record them. I do minimal editing because having to listen to my own voice on recording makes me want to physically shrivel up and die. So chances are you're listening to this for the first time when, you know, I probably haven't even played it back a single time. Quick life update. I do not have a microphone. I misplaced a microphone I purchased in 2022. I am recording this from my laptop in an apartment in LA, and that is so cool. I just think it's crazy how I can tell people I live in LA right now, because for most of my life I've lived in Indonesia, Thailand, and mainly Singapore. China for a little bit, but mainly Singapore. So it's been about slightly under 6 months since I moved to LA. And before I delve into today's episode, which will be on no spend January, or just no spend months in general, as well as in and out list, essentially everything that characterizes a new year, a fresh start, and a clean slate. So quick life update, I'm a freshman at UCLA. I am planning to major in econ, something along the lines of that. I actually really wanted to study philosophy, but last time I told people I wanted to study philosophy, they told me I was going to end up unemployed, which I am very sure is not true, but I do find econ just as interesting, and I'm excited to take my first econ class next quarter. So it's about 6 days into January. I will be starting school in about 2 days. I am so excited. By the time my next episode is up, I'll probably be already telling you about how much fun I'm having studying my butt off, getting to know my professors, hanging out with my roommates. I absolutely love my roommates, and I hope to record a podcast episode with them soon. What else did I want to tell you guys about? I wanted to also talk about other themes that I might want to cover for upcoming podcast episodes. I have so many ideas. I just need to manage my time with my second quarter at UCLA. And this podcast, contrary to what it might seem, I do have a ton of fun recording this podcast. It's just the inertia and the struggle with procrastinating that I'm sure, you know, none of us are stranger to. But it's about 7 a.m. right now on a Saturday. I woke up at 4:30 a.m. this morning because I had to teach a class. So I teach general paper for the A-levels, and I do it via Zoom because all my students, all my clients are in Singapore. So I thought, yeah, I just taught a class from 5 to 7 a.m. and I only just finished the class, and I was so tempted to crawl back into bed because I only got 6 hours of sleep last night. But I promised you guys on my Telegram channel that I would upload a podcast episode today, and I want to stay true to my word. I have made too many promises that I did not keep last year and this year. I want to be a woman of her word. Okay, so if you are in my Telegram channel, you would be more or less familiar with the kind of content I put out, which is a very disorganized sort of rambling with zero cohesion whatsoever. But for the sake of this podcast, I'm going to try to be as cohesive as possible. I even did my research and planned this out. That is how much effort I'm putting into what might appear to be incohesive rambling. But I wanted to talk about a no spend month, a challenge that I'm embarking upon January this year. So a no-spend month, if you're not already familiar, is a month in which you set your own rules for yourself, but they typically center around cutting back on unnecessary expenditure. So let me just emphasize again that you set your own rules, you figure out what works for you during this no spend month. So I wanted to start this challenge. I have never done anything like this, but after November, after Christmas, I had my finals in December. It was stressful, and I am ashamed to say that, to admit that I did a lot of shopping, therapy, it was a therapy of sorts for me, and I ended up with a lot of things that I did not need. I am in the process of returning my unnecessary purchases. It was also Christmas, so I did a lot of shopping for my friends and family. My love language is gift giving, and I'll talk briefly about how that manifests itself in my shopping habits later on. I am also on social media, and that means I not only put up content, but I also consume content, and I watch a lot of stuff. I am easily influenced, and I want to put a stop to that. So, as with any challenge, as with anything that I start, I want to do my research before it, because if I'm going to do something new, I want to do it good. So I was reading about the psychology of shopping, why we're wired to spend so much. And a lot of it felt like, duh, like I already noticed. I know that maybe us as humans, we're not wired to save, we're wired to consume. And people who tend to save more maybe have a more positive view of the future. But people who fear the future, if you have an apocalyptic vision of what's about to happen, if you think that, climate change is just on a decline, if you feel like houses are just going to get more and more expensive, why would you save for a future like that? Of course, you wouldn't. So any spending habit starts with this very basic fundamental belief that, actually, I think I need to buy something. And then you just hold on to that thought. You want to buy something and you latch onto that. And once you give that thought a bit of attention, that thought gains momentum and it stops being just a thought. It grows and develops into an impulse, a desire, an uncontrollable urge. And the more you focus on it, the more you feed it, the more you scroll online thinking to yourself what you want to buy, it essentially drives you to act upon it. Acting on your desires is so much easier than fighting it. And you repeat it a little, you do it a few more times, and it becomes a habit. So spending without thinking about the long-term consequences is a very, very real problem. And I didn't grow up with a ton of things. My family was really frugal. We were a single income family. And my parents instilled within me this habit of saving from like a really, really young age. So the first time I got pocket money, I was in primary one, so that's 7 years old. It was my first day of school, and my mom had given me $1 for my lunch. She had given me a $1 coin, and I am old enough. I'm not even that old, but I am old enough for a $1 coin to have been a whole meal back in like 2010. So I went to school with that $1 coin, and instead of spending it on lunch, I saved it, and I think I bought this stupid pink eraser from the bookstore. It made me really happy, but I think I starved that day because I wanted a pink eraser. So I went home and I showed my mom that pink eraser, and I I have forgotten what she said, but that was like my first distinct memory of being seven, skipping lunch by a stupid pinky eraser. So that was the sort of frugality I demonstrated. I liked pretty pink things, and I skipped lunch for that. I don't know what that says about me as a person, because right now when I want like a pretty pink thing, I don't even skip lunch for it. I just get lunch and I buy the pretty pink thing. But I want to change that. I want to go into January and I want to use this month to empty out all the accumulated things that I didn't even touch last year. I bought a lot of things in 2023, and this year I want to declutter everything. So, my mom, she's a very tidy person. She keeps the house running. She's really disciplined. I have so much respect for her. She's just awesome. I miss my mom so much. And, essentially, when I was growing up and I was living with my parents, she would tell me to declutter my things. We would have a very tidy household, and by tidy, I mean it was really tidy. Knickknacks were kept away in cupboards and closets, and essentially, my mom would always tell us it's so much easier to clean the house when you don't have a gazillion little trinkets lying around. And my room, when I was in Singapore, was so neat and clean. I kind of miss it. I live in a tiny dorm that is literally half the size of my room back home, and trust me, my room back home was not big at all. We did not live in a big house, but now I live in an even smaller room with two other girls. So this year I really want to declutter everything I have. I love my roommates, they also love shopping, and we kind of influence one another, sort of. I'm not blaming them at all, they're wonderful girls. But we do love shopping. So when I first embarked on this, a grand total of 6 days ago, it was pretty rough in the beginning. I was trying to reprogram my brain to think about other things that wasn't mindlessly scrolling. So I set out some personal rules for my no spend month. And I want to stress once again that the rules are going to look very different for everyone. So for me, essentials are allowed. So if I run out of, let's say, my contact lenses, I'm allowed to buy more. I'm allowed to schedule a visit to the dentist. That's necessary. I'm allowed to spend on groceries. I'm allowed to spend on gifts for my friends, but within a certain budget. Like I said earlier, I'm a huge gift giver. I love giving people gifts. I love buying presents for my boyfriend. And I actually, for Christmas, I got him some stuff. I want to get him more things. But before I do that, I'm going to ask myself, is gift giving the only way I can demonstrate my love for him? Is there anything else I could possibly do that would make him feel just as appreciated? And I set aside a pretty generous gift budget, and I can see how this might be an easy loophole. But it goes back to how my parents raised me, and my mom always told me, even if you don't have a ton of money, you don't have to be stingy. You should never be stingy. And I try to be as generous as possible with my friends. Like, if we're out at a coffee shop, I'm happy to cover the cost of their coffee on top of mine if it's like less than $10. It's not a ton of money for me. I'm privileged enough to be able to afford the little and simpler luxuries in life. I really don't like asking for money back. It's a little unsettling for me. It makes me feel like I'm penny pinching, but that's also something else that I want to reprogram in my brain. So another rule that I'm setting for myself is to cut down on the number of Ubers that I take. I'm in LA, public transit is really bad. I have not yet been on public transit, but UCLA actually offers a free tap card for students, and I might want to check it out because I want to travel more. I want to explore more places, and I want to at least take the public transit in LA once. So some of the things I've been also doing to hold off on these purchases is just to wait. When I really want something, I just put it in my cart and I leave it, and I come back to it maybe like a week, a few days later, and chances are the feeling will pass. But more than that, the trick to not spending on anything unnecessary isn't just, oh, you don't buy things. It's more than that. You just stop shopping altogether. It means that you try not to venture into stores just because you want to video shop. It also means maybe when you're free, you don't go onto Amazon, you don't go onto Aritzia, and you start trawling the sale section when you have a bit of free time. And I've noticed in just a few days that not shopping online compulsively has saved me a ton of time. And it's not much of a trick to no shopping anymore. What actually surprised me was realizing that, wow, I own a lot of things. Once I stop trying to chase the next viral beauty product or the next tote bag that TikTok was pushing at me, it just became so obvious, so embarrassingly obvious how much I already have. And I've just been trying to cope with this amount of shame. The sort of shame that comes with, oh, when you're younger, when I was younger at least, I really wanted all these pretty things. I didn't have the means to afford them. And I made peace with that just because, I didn't have like the latest Dior Addict lip glow didn't mean that I was miserable. But now I do, and I have a lot of them, and it's humbling. It's shameful. So I've been grappling with a lot of shame, the shame of having too much, the shame of having more than I did in the past, the shame that I don't actually deserve this, and it's just incredibly. It just felt like my whole self-worth was diminishing, and I was like, what kind of person was I? What kind of brat was I? Why did I need so many things? How did I even collect and accumulate so many things? And then I scrolled through, I went on my phone, I scrolled through some of my chats with my dad, like my old chats, and he used to send me like a ton of inspirational quotes or like YouTube shorts, and one of them was just talking about how just about every religion puts these material belongings as a barrier obstacle to self-actualization of peace. And that made so much sense to me in the moment. It's like I'm 20, I'm not 16 anymore, but I'm only just learning about these little life philosophies, and it just makes me feel small. Like, there's so little I don't know, there's so much more I have to learn, and it's just really humbling and also a little sickening, even. So, I was reading a little more about this because if I find something wrong with me, I want to know everything there is to know about it. So I was reading this particular quote. I don't know where it's from. It was literally like a picture that my dad sent me. And it goes, "The world is increasingly designed to depress us. Happiness isn't very good for the economy. If we were happy with what we had, why would we need more? How do you sell an anti-aging moisturizer? You make people worry about aging. How do you get people to vote for a political party? You make them worry about immigration. How do you get them to buy insurance by making them worry about everything? How do you get them to have plastic surgery by highlighting their physical flaws? How do you get them to watch a TV show by making them worry about missing out? How do you get them to buy a new smartphone by making them feel like they're being left behind? To be calm becomes a kind of revolutionary act. To be happy with your non-upgraded existence, to be comfortable with our messy human selves, would not be good for business." So I read that and I was like, I want to be calm. I want to engage in a sort of revolutionary act. I don't want to be just another minion, hypnotized by her phone, by her social media apps, And it was a little frustrating for me at that moment. Which is why I really hope no spend January goes well. And for the record, I know that I have a ton of things. I know that, you know, I am blessed. I also know and understand that there is a huge distinction between not spending money on things and not being able to spend things. Just because I'm not buying anything unnecessary for a month doesn't make me one with people who don't have as much. Doesn't mean that I automatically engage in this sort of solidarity, but it does move my focus from material consumption to something a lot more intangible and hopefully a lot more fulfilling. So other things I've been doing, I've been taking up more hobbies to keep myself occupied. I have to admit, this podcast is one of the things I'm doing to keep myself occupied. I'm also exploring new places in LA. I really like Koreatown. I go there all the time. I really enjoy cafe hopping, and that's actually part of my, you know, my rule. I will not get a coffee if I'm alone. I'll just make my own, get one from the dining hall. But if I'm with a friend, I'm not going to deny myself a little matcha latte. Matcha makes me happy, and I don't have to lead a life of forced austerity for no particular reason. I just find that when I'm sitting around bored, I'm a lot more likely to fall into past habits, fall into, you know, just wanting to hit that dopamine button. But with a bit of time, just waiting it out, they lose their appeal. Another thing I've been doing, this isn't new, but I don't have a lot of subscriptions. I have Spotify Premium, and that's about it. I'm not subscribed to Netflix. I'm not subscribed to any video streaming platform. I do have Amazon Prime, but I am on a free trial, and I will be canceling once my free trial is up. I do not have any other subscriptions. I do have a ClassPass subscription, but that's because they lured me back in with a $5 for a full month promotion, and I was like, hell yes, I'm doing it. So I paid $5 for a month, and I've attended about 3 classes so far, and I might attend another one today, all for $5, and then I might cancel. I do enjoy ClassPass though, and I enjoy exercising, so that might be a subscription that I keep because it's ultimately good for me. I do have other alternatives. I enjoy running. So I wake up a little earlier to run for free in the neighborhoods near UCLA. I also have access to the school gym. That is actually included in my quarterly tuition, so I'm actually paying for it. Okay, so that's my no spend month, and that's all I had to share. It feels like I'm wrapping up a class, but for the last thought of this episode, I just want to briefly talk about the new year. I know earlier I was talking about no spend January, but there is so much more I want to do to this year than just not spending money. And one of the things, one of the recent fads or trends that I feel encapsulates this desire to start afresh is the idea of in and out lists. So I made my own in and out list. I uploaded it on TikTok. It got a couple thousand views. And, you know, I wasn't the only one who did it. I was part of the millions of other individuals who spend like the week between Christmas and New Year thinking, reflecting upon 2023, contemplating your old habits, planning out your academic, your social, your physical, your financial comeback in 2024. So I feel like the trend of in and out list takes after your New Year's resolutions, a sort of prediction of what's going to be cool, what you're going to be embracing, what you're going to be aspiring towards for your own individual self given the new year. And in and out list tends to be a little general. Instead of saying, I want to go to the gym 3 times a week, I want to spend more time with my family on the weekends. In and out lists tend to be both niche and general at the same time. So it's also a really fun way to poke fun at your past self and maybe even scope out your plans for the next year. So, for instance, out might be chunky gold jewelry and in might be silver jewelry. So it's not a New Year's resolution of sorts, but you're throwing darts at what you think will be cool in the future. But some also are a little more reminiscent of New Year's resolutions, like out F45 classes, in SoulCycle and berries. I am personally a huge berries fan, and the fact that I'm in LA, the heart of berries where the first berries studio was founded, is so insane to me, and I'm so excited to go to my next berries class. So if you haven't already made your own In-N-Out list, you don't have to publish it on social media for all the world to see. It doesn't necessarily have to be voyeuristic. You know, your In-N-Out list is just as valid whether or not you put it online for the world to receive or not. I just think it's fun, and I think that as with most micro trends online, it doesn't necessitate some sort of deep analysis as to, you know, the psyche of Gen Zs in the 21st century. I just think it's fun. And it is 7:30 a.m. now. I have a bit more work to complete. I have my teaching responsibilities. I have to prepare for the academic year ahead, but I have lots of ideas for upcoming podcasts. This is a sort of therapy for me. And if you made it to here, big kiss for you. Appreciate it. Next episode, I want to talk a little about my accent growing up in Singapore and the attitudes and perceptions linguistically that people have of the way we speak. It's a fun topic for me, and the episode after that is still, you know, nothing set in stone yet, but I do want to talk a little more about school, my plans for college, whether I might be taking a minor, a double major, my expected graduation date, possibly studying abroad. You know, your typical study tips. I put up a little Instagram story with a question box asking you guys what you might want to see in the future. And I've been seeing a lot of things about starting life in college. And I am so glad some of you find my life in college interesting, because for me, sometimes I just want to die. Sometimes I just want to, you know, not be a college student anymore. But I am incredibly grateful once again for, you know, being able to study in UCLA. And I am so grateful I get to work at the same time. I didn't need to give up teaching at classical just because I moved to LA. I still have amazing students who work really hard, whom I am very proud of. And if you're listening to this, you know, I think it's crazy how my students would still want to listen to my podcast after listening to me talk nonstop for 2 hours every single week. Okay, have a wonderful day ahead, guys. Thank you for listening thus far.